in a series of Jonah, and if you are just, I'm just going to catch you up real quick. If you're just here new, you think Jonah, and even if you've never been to church or never heard of the Bible, you probably think Jonah, a guy who got swallowed by a fish, right? And that's just such a small part of the piece of the puzzle. But actually, we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But how did we get there? And how we got there was Jonah was a prophet, and this was before Jesus came, Old Testament. Prophets were God's instrument. So God would speak to people, and then these people would speak to God's people, the Israelites, and sometimes other people. And Jonah was one of those people. So he heard the voice of God, and God said, hey, Jonah, go to Nineveh, which was the capital of Assyria at the time, which was a country bordering Israel north. And these guys were bad news. They would torture, kill. They were really bad. And Jonah, in response, he wasn't like, no, is that the Lord? You know, I don't know, trying to decipher that. He's like, I know that's the Lord, and I'm not doing it. And instead, he gets on a ship, and he heads to Tarshish. So he's in Israel, Joppa. He goes all the way, tries to get to, like, Portugal, Spain area. And in the midst of that, God's like, no, 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 no. I need you to go to Nineveh. And he stirs a storm. A storm comes. And if you're here last week, we talked all about that. The sailors are freaking out. And Jonah's like, I know what's happening here. If you want the storm to calm down, throw me overboard. Basically saying, I would rather die than obey God, which is harsh, right? And then people are like, what's wrong with Jonah? And the reality is many of us choose death over obedience. And if you if that doesn't make sense, listen to last week, and that will make a little bit more sense. And so he is sinking, thinking he's going to die, and we pick up in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, and the Lord provided a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Lord, I pray, God, that today's message would speak and pierce our soul, Lord, that you would convict us where we need convicting, that you would encourage us where we need encouraging. Lord, let this story be a reminder that you, Lord, are in control, not us. And it's in your name we pray, amen. I love the creativity of God. I mean, God could have done a lot of things to save Jonah, but he chose a fish or a whale, you know, however, to swallow up Jonah as a provision. This is the story that is told, and God could have sent another ship, right? God could have given Jonah the ability to walk on the water. God could have done this kind of really cool, you know, Aquaman thing with dolphins, and he could have rowed the dolphins. I don't know if you're in my head. Can you picture that? He could have done all these cool things, but he's like, you know what? I'm going to have him get swallowed up by an animal. And what's just funny is that the animal obeys God, but Jonah does not obey God. I've never heard the same testimony twice. The testimony of how God will intervene in someone's life, and it's never repeated. There may be similarities. Even if you grew up a Christian, you know, you have a testimony. I've never heard the same one twice. I was here, this person was my roommate, and they led me to Christ, or I saw this. Maybe it was some sort of miraculous intervention God had, or maybe it's a series of failures or successes. But everyone has a different story of how they came to Christ, or just their story of how God intervened in their life. I'm reading a book, and it's about a bunch of, it's called The Voice of Martyrs, and it talks about what God is doing in the Middle East. And it brings up one man, he's from Iran, and they call him Houston, but his name's not that because he is still alive and preaching the gospel. But he was Iranian, he was Muslim, and he was a drug dealer. And pretty soon, he got fired from his drug trade. He was broke, even though he had a family, and he decided, I'm going to kill myself. He found a building that he was going to jump off, and he's like, well, before I jump off this building, I'm going to get a lot of drugs in my system so I don't feel the pain. His friend, coincidentally, calls and says, Houston, I have something to tell you. I have a new thing I want to share with you. So Houston thinks, well, you know what, this must be a new drug. So he says, sure, I'll meet with you. In fact, I need new drugs. And this man shares Jesus Christ. Let me tell you who Jesus is, what he's done for my life. And he's just like, what? Never heard of the gospel. He goes home, he reads the book of Matthew, reads it, and says, that makes no sense. Two other guys come alongside him, Christians, and they walk him through. And this man, Houston, realizes who Jesus was, does not kill himself, and becomes a Christian. Crazy story. Later on, now he's sharing the gospel. He walks into an Iranian family sharing the gospel, and the daughter there looks at him and is like, I can't believe you're here. And he's like, well, what are you talking about? He's like, last night Jesus came to me in a dream, and then he said, two men will show up at your house, you'll sit down at this table, and they will share the good news, and you are those two men that were in my dream. Testimonies, creativity. You all have a story. I love my position as a pastor because I get to hear a lot of these stories. And it's always like, wow, what? And people say, get this, this happened, this person moved in, and all these things happen. And what it does is it shows that God is in control. See, God controls the weather, as we see in Jonah with the storms, and God even controls the wildlife. And I know for those of you who have dogs, you're like, well, he's not doing a good job controlling my animal, but God is in control of all this. But you know what? God is in control, but God isn't controlling. And let me just share a little bit what I mean is that Jonah, for instance, had a decision to make. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And at that time, Jonah said, could say yes or no. God didn't control him. And we're not some rabbit like, yes, God, I will do whatever you say. No, that's just not how it works. And he gives us the opportunity to follow or to not follow. So he's in control of the circumstances. He's in control of the world. He's in control of the universe. But when it comes to us, he gives us the freedom to choose because that's what true love truly is. If it weren't a choice, then it wouldn't be love. If you force all of us to love him, then that's not love. So what I have confidence is to know that in all things, he's in control. And my decision is, do I want to give him control of my life? And that's what we're talking about this morning. Will you give God control over your life? But we play the stubborn game back and forth, just like Jonah. No, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to. And you kind of go back and forth. And many of us find ourselves in a storm in which we created. Some of you guys are in storms that something else happened. Maybe someone else created. Or who knows the cause of the storm that you're in? And I'm not talking about a physical storm. I'm talking about hardship, suffering. And sometimes God will provide, and many times I think God will provide, even in storms that we create, God will provide for us. But in the case of Jonah, a whale being swallowed seems like more of a punishment than a provision. Do you ever feel like that? See, sometimes in the middle of a provision, it will seem like punishment. Maybe it's a job that you've lost, a relationship that was broken up. Maybe it's even death. Even death can be a form of provision if we have the right context of heaven and who God is. And we think God's provisions are punishments. And sometimes, and many times, God's provisions can be painful. Because what we want is we want just a stack of cash to be on our doorstep. We want health to pursue. We want this. We want this. We want what we start to want control. It can be painful. My sisters tell me a story of they were in Kenya and they were in a safari. And there was, and if you go to Kenya, you're in safari, usually you stay at these tents and then you have to walk towards the bathrooms. And so you get out. And a lot of times there'll be like guards around to help you walk to the bathroom. And then what they'll say is like, don't go out at night because you could get eaten, right? And so my sisters were young and said, you know what, we have to go to the bathroom. So they walked together. And as they're walking to the bathroom, a random man who they thought was random grabbed them very forcefully and took them behind a big balboa tree and covered their mouths. At the time, it seemed like punishment. At the time, it seemed like painful. What was going to happen? Were they going to get kidnapped? Who was this guy? Who don't knows? And as they're kind of struggling, the guy pointed, and about 5 feet in front of them was a huge elephant, and they were going to walk right into the butt of an elephant. And elephants are one of the most dangerous animals. You do not want to run into an elephant. What seemed like pain was actually provision. What about your life? What is this thing that maybe God is doing in your life that seems like painful, that it actually could be a provision? And this is where we trust a controlling God, that maybe God is pruning us. We see this in John, that, you know, this is garden season. You go out and you start pruning your tomatoes, your whatever it may be. And you know that it's like there was beautiful flowers and now it's gone, but why do you do it? So the flower or the bush will flourish? Malachi 3:3 says this, he, God, will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. So we're the silver. God is a silversmith. And it sounds good, like, oh, silver is really shiny. I like being silver. Do you know how you make silver shine? It's through a refining process. And so you have silver, and it's all filled with these impurities that they got to get rid of. And then they stick it in fire, burn it, so the impurities will come out, still burn it in the fire. Don't you, some of you think that you just get stuck in the fire? God, I was just in the fire. Here we go again. This is how a silversmith knows that a silver is ready, is when they can see their reflection in the silver. This is who we were created to be. We were created in the image of God. We are Christ bearers. And what God is doing us in his refining process is that he wants to see himself in us. And oftentimes that process can be painful, but it is necessary. Why? Because he loves us so much. He doesn't want us to live with the impurities. He wants us to have a relationship with him. So he'll put us in the fire, take us out until he can see himself in us. This is what I think James, a brother of Jesus, is getting at when he writes in chapter 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Pause. James, are you crazy? Consider it pure joy when you're going through trials? No. You don't know what you're talking about. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. God's doing a work in us in the refining process. He's doing a work in Jonah. I'm not giving up on you, Jonah. I'm not going to let you sink to the bottom of this ocean. I have plans for you. I have a process. I'm going to provide a fish that you're going to be in for 3 days and 3 nights. Talk about having claustrophobia. And then it says this, then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish. He doesn't pray for God when the storm is raging on. He doesn't pray to God when he is thrown into the storm. He prays to God when he's in the belly of a fish. See, sometimes we will fall on our knees willingly to pray, and sometimes God will take a sledgehammer and make us fall on our knees. But what God wants is us to go to him. C.S. Lewis says this, we can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. I don't know about you, but is there a time where everything's going well, you almost ignore God? I don't need God. Things are good. Commissions are high. Relationships are good. Everything's good. Health is good. Then all of a sudden, Jesus becomes all we need because he's all we have. There's no atheists in foxholes. Have you heard that term? And see, what God wants us the most is to recognize him. And we think God is selfish, but God's like, do you understand what a relationship with me is like? It's more than anything. Do you understand what eternity is like? Do you understand what a life following me on this earth could be right now in this moment? And I will do anything for you to recognize that, including throwing you in a pit. Because when you're thrown in a pit, the only way to look is up. And he will allow us to do that for our sake. Charles Spurgeon says, "I make this sad confession. When my soul is happy and things prosper, I do not live so near to God as I do in the midst of trials and depression." Someone was asking me how I'm doing, and said, "I'm doing good." And they said about the whole process, if you're new here, we lost our daughter to a 4-year battle of cancer 3 years ago. And I said, "You know what? And that this I kind of miss something about that. I don't miss the hospital rides. I don't miss watching your daughter suffer, and I don't want to go too far into details. But what I miss is being completely and utterly reliant on Jesus." We would listen to praise music all the time. When I was in the car, I would pray. I wouldn't listen to sports radio. I would pray. My extended quiet time was huge. I would go for walks. I would just be shouting, pleading with the Lord. And I felt a closeness. And now, I listen to sports radio. And now, I'm not saying that I feel distant, but I don't feel that closeness. You get it, right? And for me, here's what's convicting is, why does it take such a storm to rely on the Lord? And honestly, I'm like, okay, God, I want to rely on you because I don't want another storm. And prayer is usually our last option instead of our first. When people come to me for prayer, it's usually after they've tried and done everything on their own power. And God is just saying, "What took you so long? Jonah, why are you now praying to me when you're in the belly of a whale? We could have avoided a lot of this if you came to me in the beginning." And prayer doesn't just change our circumstances, and this is a big myth. If you pray, then everything will change. What it changes the most is us and our perspective. It's a reminder that God is in control, and we see this in Jonah's prayer. And as I read this prayer that he prayed before he knew he was going to be delivered. And so this is the reminder that many of you may feel like you're kind of trapped in a storm or in the belly of a whale, some kind of thing, that you have no option to shout out to God. And maybe this is the prayer that you would like to pray. And Jonah says this, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. And you heard my voice." What a reminder. I just want to let you know, God hears you. "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All of your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. On the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bar is closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up, brought up my life from the pit. Oh Lord, my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you, into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." What I find interesting is that Jonah never apologizes. He never apologizes. He didn't say, "Sorry, God, I really messed that up." And just for the record, we should ask for forgiveness. But what he does do is he thanks God for never leaving him. He recognizes his presence in this. Remember, in the very beginning, Jonah didn't run from Nineveh. It says he ran from the presence of the Lord. You cannot outrun God. You can't run away from the presence of the Lord. Now, this is good and bad. All right? This could be bad because there's some things that we do that we're like, "God, did you see that?" And God's like, "Yep. Oh, that's great." In our family, Kate tracks me on my phone. I don't know, other husbands maybe have that feature. So she knows where I am all times. And there are times where she'll text me, "When are you coming home?" And I'll say, "Yeah, I'm on my way." but I'm not. And then she'll text me, she's like, you're still there, leave. Or I'll come late and say, sorry, I got caught up. And she's like, well, then why were you at this place, you know? And I'm like, oh, you saw that. Yeah, I was tracking you. Oh, fantastic. Right? You've been there, right? There's things in your life where God is present, and you're kind of like, I kind of wish I would run out of this presence because, God, I don't know if I want you to see this, my heart, how I feel about this person. God, maybe there's an on and off switch. God is present. Bing! Ah, I'm here. Okay, turn off. Whoo, now I can do whatever I want. Oh, you know what I mean? But God is always present. You can't outrun it. Now, here's the thing. Do you recognize his presence? And that's on us. Do you recognize that God is present at all times? And especially when you're feeling like Jonah felt when he's in a pit. Especially when you're feeling like you're in a storm. Do you realize that God is present? Because if we have this recognition, it will change everything. And I truly mean that. How fearful you are, how worried you are, whatever is going on in your life, if you could just say, the creator of the universe, who's in control of all things, is with me, that will change how you see the storm that you're in. It's Mother's Day. As we heard Pam talk, for some, Mother's Day can be really hard. Maybe it's an estranged relationship. Maybe it's a mother who's no longer on this earth. Maybe it's a child who we have a bad relationship with. Maybe it's a child who's no longer on this earth. It can be really, really hard. And I don't want to minimize it because moms, you need to be celebrated. So celebrate, which usually is leave me alone for the day. I remember when Ellie was in the hospital and she had an infection. We were in the clinic and all of a sudden the temperature started spiking. And as the temperature was spiking, they threw us into a room and all of a sudden there's about a dozen people in this room, nurses, doctors, everyone. And they're like, this is really bad. If we don't fight this infection, it could get even worse. And so Ellie was just freaking out, like, what's going on? And as a dad, I'm like talking to the doctors and she's alone. And I call Kate, her mom, on our iPad, on FaceTime. And Kate's face, poof, her beautiful face pops up. And we went from the clinic to the emergency room where she got all these tests, ended up into the ICU. And that whole process took 6, maybe 8 hours. And the whole entire time, Ellie has this iPad. Kate's face is right there. The whole entire time. Her presence never left Ellie. And that calmed her down. That was able to get her through where she wasn't freaking out. And Kate's like playing games. She was singing with her. She kept telling her it's all right. Now, it didn't change the circumstance. I just want to be honest. She's getting poked, pried, needles, all that was happening. But the only way she were able to get through is that her mom was 2 feet away from her face. Now that is an amazing mom. But that is what our Father does. This is what God does in our lives. Could we just picture Jesus right here? You're in the belly of the whale, and Jonah's like, you're here. Getting poked, pried, storms coming, all this stuff happening. You're right here. If we could picture that, how would that change how you navigate your situation? So it was present. Back to Ellie, and I know I talked to Ellie about Ellie a lot, but this is what got us through, was the presence of the Lord. And one of the last times we were at the hospital before she went to heaven, she woke up and she said, Dad, I had a dream last night. And I'm like, what was the dream? She said, it was a dream of a little girl. And she was like really like confused. And I said, well, what happened? And she said, this little girl said that she was with me while I was getting my scans. She was with me in every step of the hospital. And I don't know what to make of it. It's like, was this an angel? A couple days before Ellie went to heaven, and she couldn't speak, and Kate said, Ellie, I believe there's angels in this room. Do you see them? And she squeezed her hand, yes. God's presence never left us, even in the harshest circumstance, and he will never leave you. Now the question is, will you be aware of his presence? Even death can be a provision. This is what Paul says, I would rather be with my Lord than here. But since I'm here, I got work to do. And at the end, Jonah says, salvation belongs to the Lord. This is the summation of the book of Jonah. And he says this having no idea what's going to happen next. Could you say that? Could you say right in this moment, salvation belongs to the Lord? And then this is what happens. Then the Lord spoke to the fish. I love that. He spoke to the fish. And it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message I have given you. The whale spits Jonah right back where he started to flee. If you guys listen to Jerry Seinfeld, he says, if horses could talk, horse racing horses. They go finish their race, and at the end, like, well, what's the big deal? We're right where we started. What's all the commotion? You're hitting us. And Jonah could have avoided a lot of heartache if he would have obeyed God in the very beginning. So now he gets a second chance. God doesn't just say, I'm done with you, Jonah. He's like, okay, we've had your storm. You've had the whale encounter. Now what? He gives him a second chance. I want to show you a quick video that I thought was really funny. Because this is, often we are the sheep and God is the shepherd. But this is how I think we are with God being the shepherd. I want you to see this. It's only 25 seconds. And that's it. Self-explanatory, right? How many times we're like, God, thank you for saving us. Weep! But you know what's so awesome about God is that he doesn't have a limit on lives of savings. He's going to come and save you again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And we're going to often, like, we're going to get stuck in the pit. He's like, I'm going to raise you up. We're going to do it again. Again, 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 again. You have unlimited chance. Some of you guys have dug big holes for yourselves. And God is saying, you know what? If you recognize me, I will bring you out of the pit and I will forgive you over and over and over and over again. When I was in the hospital with Ellie, we dominated Mario Brothers. And we got really good at it where we accumulated like hundreds of lives. And when you played Mario, you would die. But guess what? You would pop up right at the beginning of that world again. Right? And I think this is what happens, is that we're running through life and we'll fall and we'll flip and God picks us up and starts us over. It's like, okay, now you've learned. Go for it. And we did that until we completed the game, which we did. And as the girls come up and Connor comes up, this is my hope for you, is that God is going to keep lifting you up, keep giving you another chance until you have completed the game of life. Until a life is fulfilled, that he has deemed fulfillment. A life that he has for you, that he's called you to. And he will keep running after us and he will keep pursuing us because we can't outrun him. Over and over and over again. And he put Jonah right back. All right, Jonah, here's your second chance. And so the questions that we've challenged each other with in the beginning is this. One, what are you running away from that God has called you to? What are you running away from that God has called you to? I believe God is calling you to something. Everyone's got something God is calling you to, and a lot of us are debating whether we should do it. The second thing is, what are you right now, how are you living in disobedience to what God has for you? We talked about that last week. And in those two questions, what I want to remind you of is that in this moment, God has given you a second chance. There was a football team in college, and they got demolished by another football team. And the coach said, you know what, I'm going to keep the scoreboard up for the whole week as a reminder. And it said the psyche of the players, it didn't go well. So here's what God does. As soon as the football team, the game is done, as soon as we make a mistake, he presses erase and it's a new score. And I mean that. He gives you a second, third chance. So in those two questions, what are you running from that he's calling to? How are you living in disobedience? No matter how far you thought you've run away from him, no matter how disobedient you said, there's no way God could love me. He loves you. Here's your second chance. Third, fourth, fifth, 100th chance. And would you follow where God is leading you to? Would you follow the goodness, the purpose that God has for you? Would you do that? He's not controlling you like you're some kind of puppet. You have the freedom. You have the opportunity to say yes or no. And so would you say yes? Would you follow him? Lord, we pray in this message, God, that everyone who, whatever you surfaced in our hearts at this moment right now, the thing we're running away from, the thing that we're disobeying you from, Lord, would you give us a reminder that at this time we will obey you. At this time we won't run from you, but we'll run towards you, Lord. And Lord, we're going to mess up over and over again, Lord, but you will keep carrying us up. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that your presence in this moment right now, Lord, is felt. That, Lord, your hand right now is above us. You're in us, Jesus. You're God. We give you control, Lord. Lord, help us see the directions. Help us see the signs that you've laid out for us, Lord. Give us clarity, Lord. Search me, O Lord, in this moment, Lord. I want to follow you, Lord. As you lead, I will follow you, Jesus. In your name we pray.